The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome to Ole Miss. I'm just reading a sign. I'm not the welcoming committee. We are live in Oxford as the second half of the program. We started the first half off with Tebow and Lane Kiffin, and we have just been racking up major hits. And now my favorite part when we talk to the guys that I can relate to the best, the sports writers. Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger. We've talked to Nick quite a lot. And, of course, Michael Katz from the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. It's always good to see. I can't say fellow scribes anymore because I don't think I'm in that, but I feel like a fellow scribe. It's good to see you.
Well, good thanks. To see you, too.
Let's start with today, because when Kiffin got here, he had just come from a collective meeting. I know you guys were there. Tell us, first of all, it seems bizarre, day before a game, but what's it all about?
Yeah, not just him. There were probably 5 to 10 football players there as well
the
day before a game. They gathered the board of the Grove Collective, which is the newly consolidated group of boosters who are running the Grove Collective, the NIL collective here. And they were branding and they were launching, and they are now a unified front talking about how they're going to be in communication and working not with but alongside the athletic department.
Alignment,
yeah, to make sure. I don't want to say the wrong words. I'm not a compliance violation quite yet, but yeah, it's trying to keep up, trying to catch up with the rest of the SEC, which is something that I don't think anybody's going to be surprised to learn that Ole Miss, not the most liquid school when it comes to booster money. There are a lot of schools that have a lot more.
It all goes to the fine china in the Grove.
Yeah. So it's about keeping up.
So, I mean, I didn't talk to Lane Kiffin a lot about that, but it just seemed awkward, him talking about it. That, you know, that can be on any subject with Lane Kiffin, but how frustrating do you think it has to be for him to be where Ole Miss is, and maybe it's going to get better, but they're still going, they're still fighting uphill on this, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's tough when you see the stories about Arch Manning and his recruiting trips and all that kind of stuff, and the money that went into that, and all these other SEC schools, and the money that these boosters are putting in or allegedly putting in. We're in the point where it's sort of an arms race right now, and it's either get to it or get left behind, and I can understand why there might be frustration, because it's hand in hand with recruiting now. You know, it's Lane has talked about free agency a lot, and that's people are going to go where they have the best opportunity for those sorts of things, and if Ole Miss isn't that place, they're going to lose some recruits.
And there's speculation they may also lose the coach. As we continue with Nick Suss and Michael Katz, Nick, Kiffin's name's been linked to jobs that are open.
Yeah.
And I know these questions don't ever get legitimate answers, so I'm sure there's not a lot of reason just to ask them, but you guys are very good reporters. What do you hear?
I guess the both cryptic and accurate answer is the Venn diagram of schools that would hire Lane Kiffin and schools that Lane Kiffin would leave Ole Miss for, that gap in the middle's not that big. I don't necessarily think that the tip-top, the premier schools, as we saw last year, a lot of them didn't necessarily go after Lane Kiffin when there were 7 openings, and Notre Dame and Oklahoma and LSU and those schools that could have gone after him did not. They went a different direction. And some of the other schools that, I mean, look, if you're going to a school where every year you compete to be in the top 15 and maybe get a New Year's Six Bowl, he can do that here. He has done that here. Right. He's doing that here. So it has to be the right circumstance for him to leave. And I kind of take his word at face value when he over the summer says, people don't see me as the guy who's going to stay somewhere because they know about my past, but I like it here. You kind of have to take him at face value sometimes. That doesn't mean he wouldn't leave for the right opportunity, but it does mean that there is progress here. He is doing something he's never done before here, which is sustaining success as opposed to having 1 or 2 good years.
But it's all about recruiting, and he's been able to, I wouldn't say manipulate the system, but with the transfer portal, he's been able to at least catch up. He may be out of breath. but Michael, what is the, other than the fans, I think the fans like Lane Kiffin here, but Lane Kiffin has always got along with the fans. It's the administration that and some of the boosters where there have been issues.
I do think he's a really good fit here, just in terms of not Lane Kiffin's not going to be a fit everywhere, and all these jobs come up, and you kind of have to ask yourself if you know him or have worked with him, does it fit from a cultural perspective, from a football perspective? And I've always thought Ole Miss was just a really good fit from just the way Oxford is, the way it kind of sees itself and the way it sees football, and the way that it's embraced Lane. You know, I think they like that sort of swagger that he's brought. They needed that swagger where they had been the last few years. And you know, he's gotten Ole Miss back on the map and in a really good place. And just again, given where they were just a few years ago with the sanctions and everything that happened, you know, with Matt Luke toward the end, I think people really appreciate him, and I think he appreciates them.
What is the situation with his contract?
7.3, I want to say.
Is it fairly recent?
Yes.
Yeah, he signed that in January. Mississippi, that law we've talked about before, you can only have 4 years at a time, so he extends every year.
But with any Jimmy Sexton client, that's as good as that's like yesterday's garbage, isn't it?
Sure.
I mean he'll churn that into whatever rumors are out there, will he not?
Oh, of course. I think that's kind of the value of Kiffin when you have that personality of even his first year here. They've gone 4-6, 4-5 in the regular season. Auburn had an opening, and his name was the first name you hear. It happens.
So, I mean, he's always popular on talk shows and on Twitter, but you mentioned it, the triangle.
Yeah.
Auburn, let's start there. There's going to be an opening. I don't think we need to sugarcoat it. I mean, we're adults here. Is he a fit for them?
I don't know if at this point in his career, he doesn't have anything to prove, really. Right. That's a hard job. That's a job where your ceiling is higher than Ole Miss, probably, but
it's
also a floor that's seemingly lower than what Kiffin's floor
would be. And you have to like Yellowwood. I mean, you just.
Yeah, I just don't know if that's the job that's worth it for him right now.
Do you think that would be a risk?
Absolutely. Given what they've done with coaches recently, in recent history. I mean, Gus Malzahn did some really nice things there, and they were pretty eager to get rid of him, and it seems like they're pretty eager to get rid of Brian Harsin right now. I just don't know if it makes a ton of sense. I don't know if they would embrace him the way that Ole Miss has.
Okay, let me try that a different way. And maybe this is just in my demented aging mind, but the idea that Nick Saban is across the state, I think that could get Lane Kiffin up pretty early in the morning.
It could, but also if you're hired as the head coach of Auburn, you never get to be the head coach at Alabama if that's a dream of his too. So I don't know if that would be a dream of his. But
yeah, maybe a dream of his. I don't know if it's a dream of the people of Alabama.
True, that's the other side of the Venn diagram of who would hire Lane.
I mean, I just have this, you know, as we sit here at the Game of Thrones Ouija board, something that Nick Saban would say, I'm leaving, and you can hire this guy, but you're not hiring him.
Yeah.
I would think Kiffin could be in on that.
I could see that. No, it's all about fit, and even I don't even know if Alabama's a fit. It's just a very specific – Lane has to fit in a very specific place, and Ole Miss just –
Is there anything outside of this – market? Nebraska's open. That's hard for me to believe.
Yeah,
I don't think that one
makes a lot of sense.
UCLA could be open.
That would make sense. I've said for years that the perfect fit for him is USC, and it's just both schools having to, you know, agree to go back in time. But UCLA's pretty similar fit-wise. Yeah. That could work. The Florida schools are fit, but it doesn't seem like any of them are going to be making moves.
No.
Florida and Miami made a move last year. Florida State's playing well. Other than that, what else is opening that seems like a good fit this year?
Yeah, Florida State and Miami are the ones that I thought of, and they're obviously...
Yeah, no, Miami's... I think the Florida State seems... Well, let me ask you one other person in this state, and he seems to dominate conversation, and that's Deion Sanders. You guys can't help but run into his reputation. What's going on there with Deion Sanders, and is he serious about bailing at some point and taking one of these big jobs?
The short answer is they're winning. That's what's going on, and people are noticing that there is a sustainable model to win with having that kind of recruiting cachet, having that sort of talent around your team. And of course, he's playing overmatched opponents right now. He has talent that none of the other teams in the SWAC do, but he also doesn't have the resources of an ACC school or an SEC school, or if any of those come open. So I think people are taking notice. It just comes down to him thinking, is this the right school to leave an HBC for? He, a lot of his branding, a lot of his marketing is around being the guy who's bringing the HBCUs back.
Right.
And if he makes the jump for, say, a Georgia Tech job, it's not going to be the same as making a jump for Florida State.
That doesn't even seem like a good move.
Not right now. That's a Georgia Tech's a tough job, but I think with Deion, it's I don't know if he would leave for any job right now, kind of like in the same way that Lane, I don't think, would. I think he's pretty content where he is, and I think a lot of what he's doing right now is not necessarily an audition, but he's showing that he's going to be a good recruiter wherever he goes, and I think he's waiting probably for the right job where he thinks he can win the recruiting battles against the big guys.
Interesting. Well, guys, thank you. I could have asked you about the game, but I've asked about 100 other people that, but I really wanted to dig a little deeper as we have talked here with Nick Suss and Michael Katz. Guys, fantastic stuff. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
We will take a break. Laura Rutledge joining us as we have had a busy afternoon, and we're not done yet. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It is Oxford on a Friday afternoon, final day of September. And we say hello to Laura Rutledge, just the most anticipated moment every week on this show, right?
Jeez,
right?
Louise.
That's all I hear about. When's Laura going to be on?
Nobody actually says that. Hey, what is this? Can I spear somebody with that later?
Squirrel. You meet Squirrel?
Yeah, well, I saw him.
Yeah, this is an arrowhead that he collects these. He found this in Tennessee, and I'm saving it. Just in case
yes,
I go to prison,
should.
I'll use it as a shank.
Well, I did see that you answered a question that was asked to you last week about whether you would go to – if you had to go to prison for a year, but you would make $5 million, you said you would go to prison for $100,000. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. So you might need this.
Well, $100,000 – yeah, I'll spend a year in Parchman for $100,000.
Yeah, is that what do you guys think? Is that crazy, or would anybody else do it? No, yeah, I think that's a little nuts.
Parchman is considered what, the worst prison in America?
Maybe, you know, but I might.
I don't know. I've been worse places.
Where? Name a few.
I'd rather not say family television.
Yeah, no, that's right.
I didn't intend to get to those places, but I got there.
I know where you've been, Paul. It's scary for people to know. If people only knew the truth about you. I think I might do it for $120,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're forcing me now to take that to another level.
Oh.
I mean, it was just our friends asked me that, and I was just trying to be funny. We both do a show.
Right.
A bunch of pretty well-off folks. I mean, we're the poor people on the show.
Right,
I mean, we actually work for a living.
We do, and we're trying to scrounge around.
Yeah.
You know, so if we could just kind of have a quicker option,
yeah.
I mean,
and
it would be a year, but...
I thought with the way things are, the stock market's
why not?
Plummeted. It's almost non-existent, and all the money I was planning on, you know, buying a motorhome and tailgating on college football in my retirement years is now gone. So I'm looking for a quick buck.
Wait, don't you guys think? Now, by the way, I'd never want you to retire. Like, I want you to be up here just basically like a pile of dust. And you know what I mean? Like, I just don't think we could all survive without you. But if that day ever came, the fact that there could be a possibility of you just motoring around the country and hitting up the best tailgates ever. I mean, here's the reality. This place is so good when it comes to tailgates and everything else. You'd be here a lot, right? You'd be rolling up here.
I'm moving to Oxford.
Oh, guys, he's moving up. Your newest Oxford resident, ladies and gentlemen, Paul Feinbaum.
I accepted a job today as an instructor at the school of something. I don't know what it was, but I said yes.
The school of dance.
I didn't care. I ran into somebody with the university. I said, I'm looking for a job. He said, well, you're hired.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, you have that kind of clout.
I do.
You're a big clout guy. Yeah. But I do think it's funny imagining you driving a motorhome around and seeing where you would end up and, you know, just living your best life.
I had
life.
A friend early in my adult life whose family...
That's the dangerous time, by the way.
Whose family took a motorhome every week to Auburn.
Really?
Yes.
Where did they live normally?
They lived... not that far from where you used to live in Alabama.
Oh, but so they took the motorhome.
It's a straight shot down
there.
The highway.
Right.
And they would, I think the father would drive it down on a Tuesday, which I thought this was crazy, by the way.
Why are you getting there on Tuesday?
Get a good spot.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And then they'd all go back Friday and they'd hang out in this motorhome.
So would the father stay there the whole time? Or he would leave the motorhome and come back?
I don't think he stayed there. Because this was a time, Laura, before you were born, where you could leave a motorhome on a college campus.
And no one was going to trash it or steal it?
Because everybody looked out for each other.
Wow.
You know
we missed those old days.
Yeah, those were good old days. And then Friday, they'd all go back, and I would drop by for 10 minutes on Saturday before the game.
What were you doing?
I was a sports writer.
Well, Laura. No, I know what you were doing, but I mean, what were you doing at this RV?
Well, I was going
to... Were you imbibing?
Well, no, never. But I was going to visit my friend's parents.
Got it.
You understand all this, don't you?
No, this sounds really nice, Paul. You know, it's funny because I just painted your early adult years as really wild and crazy. And what you just talked about sounds like a very responsible young adult just, you know, trying to be a kind sir.
I remember something because I'd never stayed in the motorhome, and I asked my friend about her.
Was this a man or a woman? Oh. Well, let me just. All right. I'm sorry.
She may be watching. Okay.
Okay. Well, listen, lovely lady out there, Paul's early adult friend. By the way, not a friend, obviously. Was this woman in TV? Was this the woman
no,
who was in TV?
No,
okay, because he did date a woman who was in TV.
I'm out of here.
Sorry, Paul. Oh, Paul, I thought everyone knew that. How old were you then?
I was young.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I want the audience to know something. I want the audience to know how...
Paul's going to use this on me.
How gracious I am, because I'm not like some people. And by the way, I may shank you.
I was about to say, here.
Laura Rutledge is going to die.
It's been great knowing you guys. Listen, if I were to die somewhere in the SEC, I think Oxford would
be
great for
place.
Me. Yeah, it'd be very I think they'd treat me well.
But anyway, this young lady, wonderful lady.
Okay.
In case you're watching, I miss you. You're great. You're wonderful.
Oh,
I'll come say hello to you the next time
I'm
in town.
Is this, rekindling of a flame, or what are we doing here?
Well,
oh, okay.
And it was the quintessential Auburn family. They were just the greatest people in
so
the world.
So nice. Yeah, they're nice people.
And I said to your parents, sleep on this thing?
You were appalled by that.
Yeah, well, it was a nice motorhome, but it wasn't like Justin Timberlake, like nice.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But yeah, but the answer was yes. And who else slept there? Was it just them or...
No, it was primarily them, and I mean they were a wonderful couple, and I'm trying to remember what she told me once that they would, they basically would tell their children they had three kids,
yeah,
and they all were Auburn fans, and they would say if you happen to this is going to get a little crazy here, but if you walk up to the motorhome, and it's moving, if the motorhome is rocking, don't come knocking.
No.
Do you understand that?
No, I gotcha. I'm with you there.
I mean,
yeah, this has been
30-some odd years, and I still remember this.
Yeah, if the motorhome is rocking, don't come knocking.
Right.
You know what? That's a great phrase to live by. In fact, I think we should make bumper stickers.
Yeah.
Or put it on a T-shirt or whatever it is. Like, to me, and if it doesn't already exist, then all of you out there that make those little signs that have the phrases
but
on
they
them.
They were like every college football family. I once went to see them after they were in Baton Rouge. Auburn had played. It was an epic game. I mean, Auburn was like number two or three in the country, and they lost the game. It was a famous earthquake game.
Oh, the
Auburn
game.
LSU.
Right. We got that this week too, by the way.
And
Auburn,
I went by after the game and saw the whole family, and they couldn't speak.
Oh no!
They'd lost the game in the final minute.
Yeah.
And I'm like going, These people take college football way too seriously.
And by the way, that's your entire fan base, Paul. Hate to break it to you.
Well, that was a good introduction.
And we love them for that.
You have to remember, I was...
That's true.
This was 40 years ago.
Yeah, you're like, seriously, what's going on with you people?
Are you
now?
Are you folks like that?
Yeah.
Ole Miss wins or loses a game, are you able to speak afterwards? Or the better question is, are you able to stand?
They can stand, but they can't. Yeah, but they can't speak.
Okay. Next week on the Feinbaum Friday show, we'll start knocking on your motorhome.
Next week on Feinbaum Friday, we will dive into this TV woman that Paul dated in his early adult life.
Yeah. Laura, do you have any idea that these people are still alive?
Yeah.
And may still own television sets.
You know what? Let me just tell you.
And now they're going to be thinking that I'm telling stories out of school.
Let me just say that I have so much appreciation for these women because I feel that they are pieces of your life. And I love
these
every
are
piece
some of
your
the
life.
Luckiest women on the face of the earth. See?
Okay, now I do want them to call. I want them to call in.
Why don't we do a show?
Were you really lucky?
Why don't we do a show one day? We'll just round them all up.
Let's do it.
Round up
the women of
round up the usual suspects here.
It'll be like the rose ceremony. What is it? The tell all thing that happens after the Bachelor, the Bachelorette. Oh, after the rose.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you guys.
Yeah.
I don't watch the show, so we'll do after the rose with Paul Feinbaum.
You don't watch the show? That's not how you met your husband.
No.
Oh, that's the other...
somebody else. What do you guys think? After the rose with Paul, I think people out there, there are a lot of people. You know what? There are some people who don't want
I want
that.
The audience to help
there
me
There are a lot
that
do.
I will be willing to do that because I can assure you that my life is not that exciting.
Mm.
But you know
not
whose life
I know.
May be exciting?
Whose?
You know, I haven't gone down your road yet.
Mine. Mine is as boring as it sounds.
I mean, I joked a couple of months ago. We were together doing this, and I said, I dated librarians and nice young women.
Wild and crazy.
Yeah, and I didn't date, Aaron Judge. I just.
Well, neither did I.
And you should have.
He was before my time.
You still should have dated him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I would never talk about your.
Here's the reality. If we do a tell-all on you, we do an after the rose on you, then we can. Then it's only fair that we did it on me. Like I would
but
never.
Mine's ancient history. You're some still living.
Mine is.
There may be some living people out there.
Well, according to you, your TV women are still living.
Well, by the way, I don't. I'm assuming they're still alive.
I'm about to say, like, we should maybe that was a little.
I mean, I don't.
Clue.
I haven't been to a reunion of Paul Feinbaum girlfriends.
Okay, but here's
why don't you host that? Why don't you host that show?
No, I will. Believe me, that's already in the works. I've already sold it to ABC. By
I'm
the way.
Sure.
So
with your clout, you could.
It's
a Monday night replacement.
Watch out, Monday Night Football. This is coming for you. The one thing that so the last thing I would say is I do wonder if the former Paul Feinbaum girlfriends go around and they say, by the way, dated. Paul Feinbaum.
Would anybody in their right mind claim that later in life that I dated Paul Feinbaum 35 years ago?
Yes. No. See, she agrees. Oh, you would. He's into it. So
okay.
is he.
Well, let me say this to you, Laura Rutledge. When are we coming back from the break?
Are we on? Is this thing on?
the
app.
The network. They just moved us to the alternate channel.
They just cut in with, like, anything else. It doesn't matter.
We got Peter Burns reruns on now.
Matt Stinchcomb is still ranking the top five players in the SEC.
I think it would be funny. I'm game.
Okay,
are you game?
Let me check. I'm going to see if I got any updates here. I've been told by one of our top executives that this has now been sold not only to ABC, but to Hulu, to Disney+.
I've been trying desperately to sell another show to ABC.
Yeah, I know. We are working on that. It's part of the Hulu Live TV Plus triple bundle. It's now the headliner of all that. So, Paul, one of the things about you is I think you grossly underestimate how fascinated people are about your personal life. Like, just little things about you. Even last week we learned that, you don't even own a hairbrush. And that was groundbreaking.
I think to be accurate, I said I don't own a comb.
Oh, I'm sorry. Instead, you're brushing your hair with like one of those round brushes that you find.
No, I don't. I don't.
Oh.
I don't brush it at all. I just.
Hair is overrated.
Is it Emily?
There's some great hairs though around here. You
is
guys,
Emily
you get some
our,
good head of hair.
Our hair person.
Yes, Emily. Yeah,
she made me very uncomfortable today. She said, "Do you mind if I cut a little bit off the side?"
Oh, I'm like, did she? Oh, yeah. You know what? It looks really fresh.
Yeah.
It looks great. Sometimes, you know, you can let it. Let it grow.
If there. We do me.
Okay. Yeah, man.
Are you game for you?
No, I said yeah, totally. Like it's only.
There's
fair.
Nobody you're concerned about.
No. It's all out in the open. Totally good.
Okay.
Here's the other thing. So then what we should do is go down the line and see who else wants to do an expose.
I think it's a great show.
Right?
You got the clout. You got all the big people that are your friends with. I'm just a lowly guy. So I'll leave it up to you. I'll leave it up to you to make this deal. What do you say?
Wait, what'd you say again? Pull away Joe Tess so he can help host it. I mean, I want to host yours, but then maybe, you know, you've got to be part of mine. So
of course
we can't.
I'll be
yes,
part.
We
I am
can't,
part of yours.
Well, exactly. Right?
I don't think that's
at.
A mystery.
Now they're like, go to break. Okay, that was too far. Whoops. Hey, okay, the other thing I was going to tell you is that earlier I met Juice Kiffin, the dog, and I know how much you love dogs, so I just hope you get to meet him. He's so cute.
I have not met him.
Yeah, he's a real cutie. He's your kind of dog.
Did Coach bring him by, or his handler?
No, his handler. Which the handlers. So it was pretty funny. This is a true story. We're doing like a little shoot with him for something tomorrow on SEC Nation, and I threw the tennis ball to him, and he got it, and then I thought he was gonna come back to me, and he just ran out of the stadium, and so the handler guy, who's a lovely man, is like running after him. He's like, somebody stop the dog. And no one really had urgency to do it. So then I started running as if I'm going to stop the dog. And like, I'm running in these ridiculous cowboy boots that I like seem to be wearing. I don't know why I keep wearing cowboy boots, but whatever.
We're in Mississippi this week.
I know. Like I'm still in Texas mode. It's fine. So I'm chasing after this dog. I don't even know how far he got, but it was like actually a scary moment. I thought we're going to have lost Juice Kiffin.
No.
He was like the most famous dignitary here.
Did you find
we got him back. Okay. Spoiler alert, we got him back.
Yeah. Okay, Well, listen, the crowd has swelled since Laura has been here. I almost...
Hi, guys. I love you guys. Well, no, they're only here because they heard that we were doing an expose on your dating life, so that's why everyone showed up. But, guys, that's coming soon, okay? It's a teaser.
Has anybody here ever dated Laura Rutledge?
Oh, anyone? Oh, he has. Okay, cool. Anybody else? Yeah, I remember you. Oh, back there, those Kentucky guys. He has. Listen, I have no shame in it. You know what? They're all wonderful
people.
Bring your
wealth management fund by, and we'll check you out later and see if you're eligible.
That's terrible. especially considering I'm the person that said I would go to jail for a year for $5 million.
I wondered how we started this conversation.
Actually, I said I'd go for $120,000.
Okay.
And you said together, you'd go for $100,000.
Anyway, Laura Rutledge, once again, never disappoints on Friday afternoon.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome back live in Oxford here on a gorgeous Friday afternoon. Let's get to the calls. And Jacob is up next. Hello, Jacob.
Hey, Paul, you there?
Jacob, are you there? Yeah, go right ahead.
You there?
Yes.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, well, I was going to ask you your opinion on the game this weekend. You know, Lane was sort of talking this weekend about the fans, you know, kind of not being there for the first three games. But, like, my thing is that it was sort of a group of five game. And, you know, like, it was 3 p.m. One was at 6:30, but, like, no one was there. And I just didn't know, like, if you thought that was because of who we were playing or if it was the fans
let me
or what you
think. Let me say this, because I asked him about that when he came by here earlier in the show. And I am one who – is a little tired of the Lane Kiffins and the Nick Sabans and everyone else complaining about the fans. The fans have every – thanks for the call, by the way. Fans have every right to do whatever they want. They're fans. They pay whether it's – you know, however they get the ticket as a student. And I just think it's quite frankly crass of coaches to criticize fans to come out for miserable games. I'm a commentator. I get paid to do this, and I'm not watching those games. There's too many other good games on. And I know you're a fan of the school and you want to cheer. And at least you show up. I was watching – I watched the game last week from UCLA. I mean, there weren't 20,000 people there. So don't criticize people that show up for your games. Once they get there, they've paid money. They've driven from Jackson or Memphis or anywhere. And to me, I find it really tiresome that coaches are criticizing people that are supporting their programs. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Kevin, I believe. Is that right? Kevin is in Austin.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon.
How are you?
We're doing great.
Hey, Paul, I've been with my wife 27 years. I'm predicting trouble at the Feinbaum household tonight. I've learned a little being married over here.
Kevin, you know, Laura Rutledge is a great friend. Everybody knows the backstory with us. But today she abused that relationship.
I agree. You know, these millennials, they don't understand. Yeah, these millennials just don't understand the rules. I mean, you don't get on TV and start calling out a guy on his former TV girlfriends and lifetime bodies.
What's become very obvious, if I could help fill in the blanks, is it's pretty clear now she knows all these things, so it's good because we're good friends. And I never revealed all the dark secrets that I have about her. And you know why I didn't reveal them today?
Why?
I'm saving them for a book.
I love it. You know, hey, Paul, that reminds me of an action.
I'm going to at least get paid for all of her secrets.
Exactly. I'm guessing you're right, though, that hers are probably more entertaining than yours.
Oh, by far. Listen, I wouldn't spend $3 to read my dating history, but hers, yeah, it might be a good seller.
Hey, Paul, I do want to ask you. So, all of us have, you know, that person in our lives that's a thorn in our side, and that keeps turning up like the bad penny. And I think for you, it's Daryl in Georgia. But for the Aggies, it's Mike Leach. And I'm sure you may or may not be aware, but Mike Leach has been a pain in the butt for us for 20 years, going back to his days at Oklahoma as an assistant, and then obviously Texas Tech, where they play us like they were in the Super Bowl every year. But, you know, one of the things I always find, over the years, I've grown to appreciate Mike Leach, and one of the things I always find fascinating about him, besides the fact that he's probably the most, you know, overeducated coach in America, is that he seems to go to these schools that are the second fiddle schools, wherever that may be, whether it's Texas Tech or Washington State or now Mississippi State. They're the perceived second fiddle, but he gets those guys to play their tail off and play, you know, games against schools that should beat them like it is their annual Super Bowl. And I think tomorrow they're going to get us. I think they have, you know, a better quarterback. They're more physical. We're just not going to be able to make enough plays on offense. And that's my prediction. I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, Kevin, I, at the moment I tend to agree with you on that. And I think just offensively, this A&M team is a struggle. Hey, thank you very, very much for your call. It's great to hear from you. Matt is up next in San Antonio. Hey, Matt.
Hey, brother, how you doing, man? That's a simple key tipper for you. They say Texas, oh, Mike Leach is going to beat every year in Mississippi State. No, he's not. Mike Leach is an overrated coach. He can't recruit that well there. He can't bring in the big talent. He's never going to win a national championship, so I'll assume Mississippi State fans. We're not going to lose tomorrow.
Matt, you don't understand, though. That's what's so great about Mike Leach is that he's able to do it.
Yeah, I understand that. But here's the same match to the ball. I'm asking a straightforward question. When's the last time Mike Leach had a big-time recruit in Mississippi State? He's been there.
Everywhere he's gone, all I know is this. He beat your team last year with all the great recruits and the $10 million coach.
Yeah,
we're up against the break. We are live in Oxford, and we have a long way to go. We hope you stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ryan McGee has popped up. Ryan, you've been getting to know the Ole Miss campus today.
Yeah, I was telling you during the break, I've been here less than most SEC campuses, I think. And it's just
you missed out
for whatever reason, but I love it here. We came here last year. I've been here several times in the last few years, and it's great. And Wright Thompson, I think, is in like Poland or something. Normally, I go over to his house, but I guess some big journalistic efforts. But I could just go over to his house anyway, I guess, and just sit on the porch. But
he's just going to take you to the grave anyway and drink bourbon.
Yeah. But, no, you and I had a lovely flight down, flew into you've been to Memphis before, right?
Once or twice.
Yeah. And it was we had a nice flight. We got out right before the hurricane rolled into Charlotte, which was good. We made it, and now we're here.
Yeah, it's I have been here so many times, I guess, you know, starting with living up the street and then – being here a zillion times since, it's really quintessential is an overused phrase, but yeah. It's the quintessential college campus.
No, it is the college town. No, it is, and it's awesome, and it's but I'm fascinated still by the logistics of like the garbage cans. That whole thing fascinates me. Like, how does like there's rules obviously.
Yeah, and that's what 6 o'clock was when they do this. I mean, as I'm leaving here, I've seen this a million times when they all. Start running.
They all roll in. And I guess the homecoming parade is going to go by here in about 40 minutes.
Oh, it's homecoming.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize.
It's homecoming. So there you go. See, that's why you've been here all day and didn't realize it was homecoming.
I did.
See,
know it was homecoming?
Yeah. Oh. But see, I walked around campus. That's why, because I saw all the signage and I noticed there were an awful lot of.
I've been in the, I've been here and I've been in the pharmacy building.
Yeah.
Which is where we usually hang out.
Yeah.
I know that building very well on campus.
No, I know that building extremely well. Yeah. So if you need to know
building,
if you need to know I'm see if you need pads over there.
Don't tell the dean, but I've been in the medical closet a few times.
Order some tablets, as my granddad used to say.
So what's on your famous show tomorrow morning?
It's going to be big. We're going to have the head coach of the defending national champion baseball team, College World Series. Mike Bianco is going to join us. I was in Omaha, as I am every year, and it was one of the most amazing atmospheres I've ever seen. It was that Ole Miss crowd there in Omaha. It was I wrote a whole story about it. I didn't actually write about the game. I wrote about the fans in the stands, and it was amazing.
Yeah, I've always thought how interesting that was that the fans here had to sit by last year as that other school won the national championship. They didn't even make it to the tournament this year, did they? And you guys won.
All right, so the morning of the game.
You guys barely made it in the
tournament. Yeah, the morning of the championship game at Sunday, I was walking around the ballpark, and I took a picture, put it on Twitter, of it was an Ole Miss
You're
fan.
On Twitter?
standing in front of the plaque for Mississippi State with a middle finger extended. Ooh. And he was taking a picture of his middle finger pointed at the Mississippi State sign.
You guys need to get along. I mean, it's
There you go. It was okay. Amazing. Yeah.
Hey, I do believe the Egg Bowl is the nastiest rivalry in college football.
I agree. And I look forward to maybe going this year.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.